good to be here. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you for just inviting us to come. I'm trying to stay strong. It's like I see too many faces here. We just want to make an announcement that we're taking over the church, and Rory's gone, so as of today, everything changes. Grant and I are going to take over. Hallelujah. So, I know it's hot in here and I want to go really fast, and whenever I say that, I go really slow. So, please, pray for me. I have a couple of gut feelings that I want to share that I believe God is in. We're driving in here. We came from the Mates in Ministry 3 weeks ago when we first landed in South Africa, and driving in again today to see those pillars over there, to see what's going on. This church is an apostolic church. This church is a sending church. That's what the apostolic means. Releasing, sending, releasing. That's what it means to be apostolic. To be an apostle is to release. And this is a releasing church. And I'm not saying anything new to you. I know you know it. But I believe God is going to release again. And I see the size of the pillars, and I see the foundations. I was talking with Stephen. I used to be in construction. We'd put all our money into the foundations, and no one would ever see it. Nobody would be able to care about what was in the foundation, but the building depended upon it. And as I see the building going up there, that base that you're building is just simply so that you can release more and you can do more. And I don't know, I'll say it the way I feel God gave it to me, but get ready. He's about to release not only into this place, but from this place. And the world is waiting for the message that you guys carry, for the joy that's in this house, and for what God's doing. He's waiting for it. So that's all I can say is get ready. It's coming. I listened to Ray's preach from last week. Flood the runways. Remember the duck. Oh, you were here last week. No. And I was, honestly, I got to be honest. A preacher should be honest, right? But I say, God, I don't have a great word like remember the duck. I just feel like, you know, flying, I'm going to get to my message, but flying over here, I got too sentimental. I'm sitting here in the front row with Andy and, help me, Irene. It's a hard name. My sister's name is, I thought your daughter was you, actually. And Pete and Grant and different ones, and flying into Africa, it's just like too much emotions going on, too many good memories. And I just, you know, it was March 20, 2006. That Andy and Irene and Lori and I were ordained the same meeting in Harsfontein Hall. And he sent us the picture yesterday or whenever. And it was just like, it's too much for old man's heart to take. How good and how faithful God is. And Lori, this morning, we were talking with our kids back in Canada because we were supposed to fly on Tuesday, but we had to move our flight to Thursday because we're not allowed to land in the States on the way to Canada. And now Canada is shutting their airports, so we don't know when we're leaving or if we're leaving. But we were talking with our kids and our grandkids, and she reminded me a couple of weeks ago, I preached a while back in our friend's church in a city called Grand Prairie. And after I was waxing eloquently and preaching so beautifully, expounding the word with my powerful intellect. Yeah. Why are you laughing? No. Because you know me. And she said, she reminded me, the pastor there, friends of ours, Travis, he said, he gets up and he thanks us for a grandfather word. And I was thinking, that sounds old. And like, I thought it was cool to be a father. But then this morning when we were talking on the phone and Lord talking and we're planning to come here, it was like God put a nice thing in my heart this morning that it's okay to talk like a grandfather. You talk differently when you're a grandfather. Yeah, grandfathers are the best. Like when you're a father, you got to smack kids. You got to deal with school. You got to clean stuff. You got to. But a grandfather, you get to just be the nice guy. You get to be the sugar pusher. You just, it's okay. It's good. And I really felt it this morning that I can come here like a grandfather. And I can speak to you differently than if I was a father in this house. I would have to say some things. And I even watch as you're welcoming in new people and doing things. You have to do that, but I don't have to do that. I can just tell you how wonderful God is, and that he loves you, and that he's got this amazing heart for you, and he cares about you, and he just wants to bless you. He wants you to walk in that freedom. And when the band was singing, I came out of that grave, and they're showing the baptisms and all of that. You know what I felt? I just felt like I got nothing to say except for, if that's you here this morning, you need to run to the front. You need to run to Jesus. You need to run up and receive him into your life. And I just had this picture in my mind of people just running to Jesus this morning. And so I don't know if that's right now or if that's later or if it'll never happen, but I just in my gut, I'm like, you are here this morning and you're praying in your heart and you're watching all the stuff that's going on, and you know in your heart of hearts that you need Jesus. You need the peace of God. You need forgiveness. You need the hope of God. Well, this is your chance. You need to run. You need to come here. You need to come right now to the front and receive Jesus as Lord of your life. And if that's you, why don't you just do it? Why don't you just mess with everybody's religion here this morning? And why don't you just come and meet me right here and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Would you do that? Oh. Come. I'm a grandfather. I'm not going to be mean, and I'm not going to try to manipulate this crowd. I'm telling you, come to Jesus. Give him your life. Give him your heart. Give him your heart. Come, 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 come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you. Just stay here. Come. Yeah, that's better. Run. Run, 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 run. Run, 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 run. Hallelujah. Wonderful. This your daughter? You want a drink? I love it. Thank you. You know what I've learned in my life? Can I hold your hands? You know what I've learned in my life? It has very little to do with how good we preach. It has very little to do with how good the musicians are. But it has everything to do with how good God is. And I love him. I love him. And he loves you. He loves my grandkids. And he loves my kids. And he loves you this morning. And I just pray you'll just know it. You'll feel it. You'll understand it. You'll know his freedom. You know how valuable you are. Yeah. You know how precious you are. It's so good. Father, will you pray with me? Father, just say it with me. Father, I ask you to forgive me. Help me to forgive myself. Help me to love myself enough to make you Lord of my life. I ask you to come into my heart, make it your home, and I choose to serve you and live for you. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What's your name?
My name's Courtney.
Who?
Courtney.
Courtney. And you?
Lisa.
Wonderful. Bless you. Serve Jesus your whole life. Your whole life. Whole life. Our whole life. Bless you guys. Wonderful. Oh, let's all go home now. I love it. Thank you. Bless you. Yeah. Yep, to the next. Thank you for just being faithful, you guys. I prefer a not used one, but that's okay. Thank you. Yeah, corona free. Now you're all getting a little bit nervous about shaking my hand. I don't know who's to be afraid of who. We fly home, if we can fly home, they don't want to let us in. Or we got to spend 14 days in quarantine because they're worried about you guys. And coming here, they're worried about us guys. So I'm telling you, God is in control of our lives. Our time is good. I need to read a scripture. Please turn in your Bible to 1 Peter. I really do have a message that I want to get to, but before I drop it with you, I need to read this. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and on. It says, I'm reading in the NLT Bible, so if you don't have it, please, it's okay. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Amen? It's by his great mercy. It's his mercy. It's his mercy. It's his mercy. It's his great mercy. Hallelujah. We've been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. Every one of these is a preach, but now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance. Can you come here? Just come. Just, there's two footprints right there. I think it's for a reason. Just stand right there. Can I start over? Because what I have to preach, who cares? All praise to God the Father. Can you read it? Read this verse. And think about this.
All praise to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation,
yes.
And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you,
yes.
Pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay, and through your faith. God is protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world.
Amen. Thank you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yes, believe it. This salvation is unbelievable. It's too good to be true. Amen? But it's the truth. The reason I wanted to start with these verses is we have a problem with religion, all of us. How many of you were raised in church? Oh boy, many, many, many. God help you. You're going to have to repent of much. Much good works, much of your own effort. I'm serious. Many times we forget the mercy of God. Many times we forget the grace of God. We think it's something we've accomplished or done. Christianity is a relationship with God. It's God having a relationship, trying to woo us, call us to himself. Religion is us, men, women, trying to have a relationship with him, working at trying to find him, trying to meet some standards. That's the difference. And God wants this amazing relationship with us. He wants that to grow, and that's what Peter was saying. That's what the Bible talks about. I'm going to skip all the verses I was going to read. But we need to repent of good behavior. We need to repent of our efforts, what you've done and how you feel. You know what? Remember the duck sermon. Go listen to that sermon again. It sounded like he was stealing my message. The only part of his message I remember is when old George in the church, when the woman ran around naked and the pastor said, "You'll be struck with blindness if you look." And he said, "I'm willing, pastor, to give up one eye." You see, those illustrations stick. But here's my point. Everything depends on the lens you're putting it through. When we're talking about Jesus, and when I get to what I want to speak on, it has to go through the lens of relationship with Jesus. Otherwise, you guys are going to think I'm preaching legalism. I'm putting stuff on you. I'm coming heavy onto you. Let me just jump to the gold here. It's simply that if you look through the lens of trying to relate to God, you'll get tired. You'll see it as effort, what I'm about to say. But if you look at it out of a relationship that's real and genuine, it's a walk in the park. It's a joy to serve God. And my point is simply that whatever lens you are looking through will determine how you respond. Let me give you one verse. John, Jesus is speaking. And he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." If you are of the religious side, all you heard is, "You will keep my commandments." And you're already thinking, "Boy, I'm doing okay, but whoa, I might have to adjust a couple of things." But if you're over here on the relationship side, what you heard is, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Amen? If you love me, from a place of love, the overflow, the thing that'll just happen is you will keep his commandments. They are a joy. But from over here, you say, "If you love me," once you get that relationship, that's why I was so thankful to see you three come forward. I know there's more in this house that are living in a religious place. Just to see you, just respond. It's God's mercy. It's God's goodness to us that we can just come and open up our hearts and he loves us. And some of you have been working hard for 20 years, and I'm talking to myself. That's where we can get ourselves to this place where I've done pretty good. I've got myself in pretty good shape. And we need to repent of that. You stand during a worship service and you can't lift your hands. See, that's why I'm saying it's going to sound like I'm smacking people. If you don't come from a place of a wonderful relationship with God, everything I say from now on is going to be, it's going to be hard. But it's not. When you love Christ, you want to worship. Amen. You want to give. You want this place to be a releasing place. You want this house to be strong. Your money is not yours. Whatever, you know, you think, "Oh, here we go with the money." Yeah, everything belongs to Christ. And you are going to want to release it. You're going to try your best to outgive the others. Blessed, more blessed to give than receive. We start to understand those verses when the love of God is in your heart. It's not burdensome. It's not hard. One more point, then I'm going to bring my point, the big point. In the book of Genesis, there was two trees. The tree of life. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen? And that is the same exactly today. I got to shorten this, but it's not the tree of life and the tree of death. That's not it. It's the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that is the exact same battle that's going on today in our lives, every day. Jesus wants to bring life, and we right away take it to a place, what do I know about good and evil? What do I know about the commandments? What do I know about what I have to do? And it's not about that. It's about life. I've come that you can have life. And this is not an excuse to start sinning and start living any way you want. This is a reason to live full life in Jesus. This is a reason to come alive unto God and worship him and serve him with your whole heart. Now having said that, here's what I felt the message I had for you this morning. Flying here on the airplane, I don't know if it's the 26 hours in the plane or what it is, being a grandfather, hallelujah. I'm not that old, come on. Sitting in the dark in this plane, have you seen the movie Harriet? It's the story of Harriet Tubman, the black American slave who escaped slavery and became an American hero. They even put her on their money. That's how important she is in this America right now. But the movie just came out. It's about her life. And she escaped slavery, and she was instrumental in the whole Underground Railway thing of setting people free. But halfway through the movie, halfway through, she's being honored, and the big government boys are there, and she's brought to the White House, and they're honoring her and thanking her. And these are the big boys. These are the government guys. And she's standing there, and she says these lines, and I wish they could put it on the screen. You go and watch it or whatever. But she says this line. She's talking to dignitaries. She's talking. You gotta understand, like, when you're watching the movie, you just get reminded again what slavery was all about. Abuse and immorality and bondage and slavery. Like, there's no way to describe it even. Just the misery of being owned by somebody like an animal, and to escape it and to run for life and do all these things she did. And they're honoring her. And she stands there, and these are her words. She's speaking to the government of the United States and to every one of these big dignitaries and money men, and she says this: "You either were never in slavery, or you have forgotten what slavery is like." And she just goes bananas on them. And I'm sitting in the airplane at 3 a.m, whatever, flying to Africa with all this sweet emotion in my heart. And God just nailed my heart. "You've forgotten what slavery was like." And that's the word I believe God dropped in my heart for you this morning. You've forgotten what slavery was like. And she says, "I will give every drop of my blood until slavery is destroyed in the world." And I cannot say it with enough emotion, enough passion to convince anybody, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will take that and drop it in your heart. You either were never born in slavery, or at least you thought you weren't, or you've forgotten what slavery was like. And the challenge came to me in the plane, and I got to readjust some things. And I leave it with you this morning. What is God speaking to you? Have you forgotten what slavery was like? Have you forgotten what sin, being lost, was like? Do I have to remind you? Because those things are what motivate us. Those are the things that will cause us to care. Those are the things that cause us to reach out. When you realize what slavery was like, what it meant to be lost, what it meant to be trapped in sin and misery and hopelessness, and some of you are in that place, and some of you have forgotten that place, and God is here to remind you. He's here to tell you. He set us free. We can run out of that grave like we saw this morning. He's calling to us, but he's also calling to every one of us in this church this morning to step up. To step up. I don't know what that means for you. I don't know what God will speak to you about. But please don't forget what it's like to be lost. You sit here and you celebrate this amazing, beautiful welcoming in of 300 people, a beautiful building you're putting up. I'm here to rejoice with you. But I'm telling you, that is just so that you can be a bigger base to set more people free. You can be sending out not slave ships, but freedom ships. Hallelujah. You can be setting people free in this city, in this country, and around the world. Our church in Canada exists because of this church. You sent us 10 years ago. We're having our 10-year celebration in September. Last year, we planted our first church in the city out of us. And we don't have 350 people joining us. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, it's not about the numbers. It's about, have you forgotten what slavery is like? Have you forgotten what it means to not know the good news? Have you forgotten what religion is doing to people? Have you forgotten? And I'm here to challenge you and to say, wake up. Let the Holy Spirit come and speak to you this morning. I'm going to ask the band to come. I'm going to turn the service over in a minute. But who cares? A few weeks ago in our church in Edmonton, we had a guest come, Clem Ferris, friend of ours from North Carolina, prophetic ministry, spoke to us. He spoke to Lori and I especially, but through us to the church. But the word he dropped on us was, he says, I give you permission. Oh, I feel it this morning, Stephen, seeing you standing, sitting here. Come here. Stand here. Kathy, come here. Pete, come here. Look at the people. Come here. Pete, Amarinda. Come on, light switch. Ha! The only reason I chose some of these guys is because I know them, but Clint, come, and Matt, come. These guys were elders when I was around, that's all. You're elders now, right? How can you be an elder when you're such a young boy? No. And it's not my church and it's not my place, but I'm just speaking what the prophetic spoke to me, and I'm going to walk in it, and I'm going to enjoy it. But simply this is that God's giving us permission to make people uncomfortable with being comfortable. It's I give you permission to make people uncomfortable with being comfortable. They cannot get comfortable. We cannot let them forget what slavery was like, what it meant to listen to your father beating your mother upstairs, drunk out of his skull, and hiding in a basement. People are living like that. People are being sexually abused. People are being tortured for their faith. People are hiding in caves right now. I could tell stories, personal stories. But to give you permission, Pete, Lindeke, Amarinda, Matt, to make people uncomfortable with being comfortable. Is that okay? Speak. Let your throats bulge, as they used to say. Cry. I feel like God is speaking to us as a church to never forget why we're here, why we exist, what the message really is all about. And I pray that. I pray that over you, and I pray that over this church. Amen? Amen. Just stay there for a second. I'm going to just stand on this side. I'm going to ask you this morning, if God's speaking to you about joining with these group of men here, and I know it should be all of us, but you know in your heart that there's stuff going on in the world right now that is serious. There is situations, there is stuff happening in this country, but also in the entire world. And it's time for us to step up. It's time for us to lean in and to pull the weight. I grew up on a farm. We used to use workhorses just for fun, hay rides, fun things. But there would always be a couple of the horses that would slack off in the traces, and the traces would sort of get slack, and the very word we had used is step up. Babe, step up, because their names were Babe and Beauty. And I feel like this morning I'm saying, Babe, step up. And if God's speaking to you and there's anything of the Spirit of God in this house this morning, and you're saying, I need to lean in with these people. I need to lean in with everything I've got. Finance, energy, prayer, work. I don't even want to list things. And you say, that's me. Would you just stand with me as we pray? And just join with these guys. Thank you. And as they're standing here this morning, Father, if there's anything of God in my life, if there's anything that you've put in my heart, I pray this morning that we would never forget what slavery was like. I pray we'll never get religious. I pray we'll never get comfortable. I pray, God, you will stir us, stir these leaders, stir this house to give and to build and to release more and more and more. I pray, Father, that they would reach the ends of the earth from this house. I thank you for what they mean for us in Edmonton, what they meant for us over these last 10 years, what they have meant for our lives and for our children's lives. And I pray, God, they will never forget it. I pray they will never settle. And God, I pray you'll make them uncomfortable with being comfortable. You will stir them beyond their dreams that only you can provide for what they need, for what you're calling them to. I pray you will release thousands of people. I pray you will release millions of rands. I pray that churches will be planted because of our commitment today to stand up and say, use us. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.